The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 37 this morning. Psalm 37. We're going to stay in this psalm, and we're just going to walk our way down through these verses this morning. And the message is entitled, What to Do When the Wicked Seem to Be Winning. What to do when the wicked seem to be winning. I don't know about you, but I know viewing the news, especially over the past year or so, coming through the election, all the things you see transpiring in our world, the things you see transpiring in our country, the things that are taking place in our communities. It has to, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, you kind of got to scratch your head a little bit and kind of wonder what in the world is going on. We, instead of gaining ground, we seem to be losing ground. We live in a time and age, honestly, where right is wrong and wrong is right. And as a believer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we see that the wrong and the evil and the wrongdoers, they seem to be gaining ground. They seem to be winning. They seem to be getting the victories. And whereas we are losing ground, and we see them pressing in on our beliefs and what we believe and know to be true according to Scripture. So what do we do as God's people? How do we respond? How do we look at this where the righteous suffer? You know, you go through and read the book of Job. What do we do as God's people when the wicked seem to be winning? In Psalm chapter 37, if you'll look in there, there's some key words I want to highlight to you real quick before we go down through the chapter. But if you'll notice in verse 1, David says here, he says, fret not thyself. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Verse 8, cease from anger. Verse 27, depart from evil. Verse 34, wait on the Lord. Verse 37, mark the perfect man. This Psalm of David is about divine, godly perspective concerning good and evil. This psalm gives the right perspective for you and I, the right perspective of life, especially when the wicked are prospering and the righteous are not. Looking at life on earth without God's perspective can produce much frustration and unbelief on our part. How do you and I apply God's word to the evildoers that are shaping society today? To those workers of iniquity bent on enslaving the world in atheism, godlessness, and wickedness? Today's headlines from the fake news mafia confirms we are living in some very wicked times. As I mentioned earlier, right is wrong and wrong is right. And as you begin looking at this psalm, of course, you'll notice references to the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. You'll notice there's millennial references, there's prophetic. But I just want to walk down through it and give you and I some practical advice from God's Word on how we are to respond when it seems like the wicked are winning. Verses 1 through 10 tell us that when the wicked prosper and have success, and the righteous seem to be doing poorly in this world, the behavior, our behavior, the behavior of the saved, the behavior of the righteous is to be godly and holy anyway. We continue to be who we are in Christ. Notice with these commands, promises are given to encourage us in our walk for Christ, to encourage us in our duty. You'll notice that God is in the habit of giving promises with His precepts to encourage our obedience to His precepts. So let's begin in verse 1. Notice, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. It's almost as if David is just kind of slapping you and I in the face with that first verse. He doesn't say, oh, don't worry. He doesn't come in soft. He says, hey, fret not. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't get upset. Don't work up a froth of what you're seeing. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. The command against fretting, getting worked up, hot and bothered, agitation of your mind, irritation, is given three times in this passage. You'll see it again. Notice in verse 7, he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself. Verse 8, Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself. We worry. We can worry about how bad things can get when the wicked are doing well. Where are we headed? What's the world going to be like for my children? Envy, I believe, is the thing to be aware of. Psalm 73:7 says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Proverbs 14:30, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." You could say it's the king's sin that causes God's people to fret. Envy and jealousy provoke evil conduct. Envy and jealousy cause us to respond improperly to what we see taking place in the world. Listen, we should not, and we don't need to, covet the position, the possessions, the prestige, and the popularity of this old wicked world. Understand that with those things I just described comes a lot of baggage with their so-called success. And that's baggage you don't want. They have nothing. Listen to me. They have nothing truly to envy. They don't. The child of God is not to let evil workers make him angry or discontented, as we see in verse 1, nor make us envious, as we see in verse 1, or unhappy, as we see in verse 4. Look at verse 2. "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Notice the shortness of their time. And now it may not seem short to you, but in regard to eternity, the wicked only have a drop in the bucket of time for their success, and then they will soon be gone. Also, as we look at this passage, notice the sentence of their evil deeds. In verse 2, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Look at verse 9. "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." And then we get to verse 3. So he says, "Fret not." To me, it's a slap in the face. It's pay attention, wake up, get focused. And then he begins to give you some words that I believe would be very beneficial for us. He says, "Trust in the Lord." So don't fret. Don't be envious. Well, what should we do? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. "So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily it shall be fed." A fretful heart is not a trusting heart, because a fretful heart lacks joy. A fretful heart lacks peace. Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you," that's you and I, "with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." Hey, trust God. Listen, God has and will continue. God, trust God for your food and your shelter and your clothing. Listen, you and I can trust God to do the right thing. Our faith is an active. It's a doing. It's a believing. It's a going. Do good. Do what's right. The popularity and prosperity of evil, listen, just because they seem to be gaining ground, just because they seem to be doing well, does not justify us doing evil or wrong on our part. Understand that we have a God and no one supplies like our God supplies. Especially when it comes to the idea of eternity. You and I will have an abundance of good things forever, and the wicked won't even have a drop of water to quench their thirst. He says, trust in the Lord. Notice in verse 4, not only does he say, trust in the Lord, he says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight, focus on the Lord. Don't focus on the prosperity of the wicked. Don't focus on all that stuff. You and I should focus on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, if you delight in the Lord, there will be no disappointments. If you delight in the Lord, there'll be no disappointments. Please note that delight is a step beyond trusting. He says trust and he says delight. You should question your trust. You say, "I trust in the Lord." Okay, does your trust lead you to delight in the Lord? If your trust is not leading you to delighting in the Lord, you've got a problem with your trust. Now, this is not a promise for people who want things, but for those who want more of the Lord in their life. And also this promise there, it says, "And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." It's amazing how we kind of jump in on that. Oh, I want a car, and I want a house, and I want this. That's not as broad as we think. The desires of thine heart, for those desires have to be yoked up to the Lord. If we delight in him, we will not desire many things that the flesh desires, but we'll desire what God wants us to desire. Trust, delight. Then it takes us to verse 5, commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And then he says again, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit everything to God in prayer with thanksgiving. Invest in God. Do the Lord's work. Sign up for the long term. Surely where there is trust and delight in the Lord, there will surely be a committing of ourselves, our ways, and our purposes unto him. A life that is wholly committed will be free of anxious and fretful thoughts. Notice he says, bring it to pass. What is it he's going to bring to pass? Look at the verse. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What's the it? It's thy way. He'll bring it to pass. Verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as the noonday. God will vindicate you and I. God will vindicate the righteous. When it's all said and done, he will show them us to have been right. Trust, delight, commit. And then he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself, there it is again, because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Listen, you and I need to rest in the promises of God's word and have confidence in those promises. This rest is the result of a wholehearted committal to Christ. In this quietness of rest and in this confidence, you and I find our strength. Rest in the Lord, for the battle is not yours, but his. Relax. Be silent. Be still. God is still in control. And then wait. He says to wait patiently. It gives me an idea of a waiter who has to wait patiently on you. They come to your table. Hey, are you ready to order? No, we're still looking at the menu. Oh, okay, and off they go. And they wait until we are ready to order. And you know what? We wait patiently on our Master, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because why? God does things at his speed and in due time. Trust, delight, commit, rest. And then he says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. And again, he says, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Listen, if you trust in the Lord and delight in the Lord and you've committed all to the Lord and you're resting in the Lord, you should cease from self and from man. Wrath and strife are works of the flesh. They are not works of the Spirit. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Proverbs 25:28. Verse 9 says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait, there it is again, that's you and I, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Wait patiently for him in verse 7. This is a needful reminder for us. After having committed all to him and ceased from doing our will in our way, there is the danger for you and I of becoming weary in well-doing. Continue to do what's right. Continue to be a light. Hey, continue to be kind. Continue to show the world Christ. He says in verse 10, for yet a little while and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Verses 12 through 20, we're going to roll down through very quickly. But notice the proper perspective of the wicked. The proper perspective for you and I of the wicked. And I put in my notes, doomed. They're doomed. Remember that. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. It reminds me of Psalm 2 there in verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. The Lord shall laugh at him. Verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needing to slay such as be of upright conversation. But notice the end result. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. You should let that verse sink in. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. The wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, and to smoke they shall consume away. You can sum up the wicked in verses 12 through 20. We see derision, we see death, we see destruction, we see damnation. But as you read down through those verses, notice the righteous, notice their inventory, notice their assurance, their insurance, their inheritance, and their innocence. And when you see that, it should, having the proper perspective, should then affect our current behavior. Having the proper perspective should then affect our current behavior, our current walk on this earth. Verse 21 says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. We are to continue to be kind and generous. We see that in verse 26 as well. Verse 22, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. You'll notice that in verse 11 as well. You see the message several times. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I like that. Verse 29 says this, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Listen, our future prospects are bright. Now, I realize we are consumed with this moment in time we call life on earth, 50, 60, 70 years of the Lord should bless in such a way. But that's nothing compared to our eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yes, down here on earth, we understand the righteous do suffer. And yes, we understand things are done that are not right. And as Pastor Redlin has mentioned recently, yeah, it's not fair. And that's true. But that's life. But don't forget, our future is bright. It's an eternity with our Lord and Savior. It's just not, oh, streets of gold, I'm going to have... Forget all that. I'm going to be with the one who died on Calvary's tree for my sins. I'm going to see the one who shed his blood for my rottenness, for my wickedness, for my evil, and for my sins. I'm going to see my Savior, and I'm going to spend eternity with him. Oh, our future is so, so bright. Don't let anything cloud the brightness of your future. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Inspirationally, we may note that the steps of a Christian are ordered by the Lord, and that these steps are commanded in the sense of request or even a sense of an order sent to be fulfilled. Now listen, let's just focus on this verse for just a couple minutes here. It's an important verse. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That tells me that in this sense, listen, disorder is not the Lord's order for your life. Let that sink in. The Christian's life is not to be marked by disorder. It's not to be marked by chaos. It's not to be marked by confusion. That is not the order. Our steps are ordered by the Lord. Let me just ask you real briefly. I know we're in the last rush here. You've got wrapping up projects and papers and preparing for finals. Many of you are preparing for graduation. You've got a lot of things going on. But let me just ask you, is your life in order? Or would you say, oh, I'm pulling my hair out. That shouldn't be us. If I'm in college, well, I understand, but didn't say there's not an exception there. Your life should be in order. Our lives should not be marked and characterized by disorder. How many of you love going somewhere and you see a sign hanging on the door and says, out of order? Well, that sign should never be hanging on a Christian's life or a Christian's testimony. Our life should never be out of order. The Bible says that all things be done decently and in order. The good man of this verse, he ought to seek the highest good. And he ought to do the greatest good. That should be our behavior in the current world we live in. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Listen, we're never going to be down for the 10 count. We may stumble, we may fall, but we're never going to be down for the 10 count. You're going to be like Rocky. You're always going to bounce back. Amen. No matter how bad you look, we'll come out on top in the end. I have been young, David says, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Because our God is the great provider. He's the great provider. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. And then notice verse 27. So David starts off, he says, hey, fret not. Don't be envious. And he says, trust in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Cease from anger. And then he comes back and he says, hey, depart from evil. You know why? Because our flesh wants to get even. Our flesh wants to rail against the wicked, the prosperity of the wicked. And he says, listen, depart from evil. Well, what should we do? It says, and do good. Continue to do what you're supposed to do. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Look at verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. I know it's millennial, but we have a place called heaven. Depart. It means to go. It means to move from. It means to leave, not to adhere to or to follow. Depart from evil. You and I are supposed to have holy conduct. We're supposed to have holy behavior. How is this doomed world ever going to see Christ if we respond in the wrong way? For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. In this verse, I see partnership. I see his presence always with us. I understand that he forsaketh us not. We are preserved forever. I see the security of the believer here. Verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land, dwell in forever. Consider, as I've already mentioned, our forever dwelling place. And listen, consider where you and I will dwell forever versus where they will dwell forever. And because of where their destination would be, it should cause us to do good. It should cause us to be a light. It should cause us to share the gospel. It should cause us to be kind and generous. It should cause us to show mercy. Verse 30 says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgments. Listen, our words in this wicked world we live in, even though they seem to be winning, even though they seem to be gaining ground, listen, our words should be true. Our words should be right. Our words should be productive. Always. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Listen, you and I, we are a people of the book. We are a people of the Word of God. And we ought to practice and live this book out in front of these wicked and doomed individuals. We should be loyal to what the Word of God says. God's Word in the heart. God's Word in the heart is the secret to a holy life. Is the secret to holy conduct. Is the secret to righteous behavior. Take your Bible. Go to Psalm 119 since you're there. If you want to, just flip over. Just to drive home this point concerning the Word of God. Psalm 119, look at verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And then if you want Psalm 1, you probably have it memorized. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight... So we see delight in Psalm 119 in God's Word. We see delight here in God's Word. We see in the passage we're preaching from that we're to delight ourselves also in the Lord. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We are a people of the book. In closing, we see that the wicked are doomed. The wicked are doomed. Look at verse 32. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord, and notice some phrases here, the Lord will not leave him. Oh, what fellowship we have in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. We see fellowship and we see freedom. It says, nor condemn him. What freedom we have in Christ. Verse 34 is now one of our key words. It says, again, notice he says to cease and then he says to depart. He also tells us again to wait. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. We get a glimpse of our fame and fortune, but we also get a front row to the fiery demise of the wicked and doomed. He says, I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but could not be found. Listen, the wicked, the evildoers, all the things you see, they go from fame and prestige, and they go to nothingness. They go to where the worm dieth not. They go where there's weeping and wailing, and their thirst is not quenched. Verse 37 says, mark the perfect man, our last key word. So as he closes out, he says, mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. So he says, mark the perfect man. He's saying, hey, take notice, pay attention. The particular observation of the perfect man, the upright man. Listen, the upright man, that's you and I. We have built our house upon the rock, while the wicked have built theirs upon the sand. It says in their verse, they're going to be destroyed. That's, they're going to be ruined. They're going to be cut off. They're going to be rejected. And so the key question as we come down through this passage this morning is not what people look like or what they possess. The key question is where is their final destination? Now, I know that we're at Pensacola Christian College, and I realize you've made it this far through the semester, but I do pray that your final destination, and you know it beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're going to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heaven is your home. You're just a pilgrim and a stranger. You're just passing through this old world. I pray you know Christ as your Savior. And if for some reason you don't, and you've held out, and you've let pride, and you've let what others may think, toss that all aside and come to know Christ as your Savior. That you have the assurance of what your final destination will be, a home in heaven, and not a place in a lake of fire for eternity. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Right now, I could say we're in times of trouble. But you know what? In the time of trouble, right now, this moment in time, He's our strength. He's your strength. And the Lord shall help them. I like that. And deliver them, praise the Lord. And he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Listen, fretting and fear cannot stand before faith in a living God. Last time I preached, a few weeks back, we preached on the better life. Listen, the better life, once you're saved and the Holy Spirit begins to work on you and God works on you and begins to change you. Listen, the better life has its eternal advantages. Yes, sin may have its pleasures, but the godly life has the advantages. And always remember this, that time is on the Lord's side. Time is on the Lord's side. We're always in a hurry. We want it done now. That's why we're told to wait patiently on the Lord. Time is on the Lord's side. And as we read down through this passage, some may think, well, this is an Old Testament passage and it's got millennial overtones and prophetic overtones. And I understand all that. But there's great truths in this passage for you and I. What are we to do when the wicked seem to be winning? But for those of you who may get hung up on an Old Testament passage, let's jump to a New Testament passage that Pastor Redland has been preaching through, Philippians chapter 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. No matter what's taking place in our life, no matter what's taking place in the world we live in, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation, that's calmness of mind. That's you and I in the midst of this wickedness. Calmness of mind. Hey, restraint of violent reaction and violent passions to what's taking place around us. And he says to fret not. Here he says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We find it in Psalm 37. We find it in Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there being virtue, there being praise, think on these things. I pray something said this morning was encouraging to you. I'm old, you're not. You view life a little differently than I view it, but we're all children of God. And take these passages, take these key words, and repeat them to yourself and put them into practice in your life. They may seem to be winning, but they're not. Time is on the Lord's side.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.